Allison was talking about being generous and the extravagant gift that Mary showed Jesus, gave to Jesus. Do you know how to teach children to be generous? There was a study done. Catherine told me she was listening to NPR and she heard a study had been done about how to teach children generosity. And there were three ways that kids learn generosity. The first is by example. The second is by example. And the third is by example. That's the way we learn. That's what growing up kids is all about. They look around. When we do the baptisms of babies and we say this is our child now, and what that child is going to do after that baptism, as they get a little older, they're going to look out at us and say, oh, that's what it means to be a Christian. That's how Christians act. And they will imitate us. Some of us are good examples and some of us are not good examples. But they learn from our example. The scriptures also include example after example, some of them good examples, some of them not good examples. This morning we are looking at a story of a woman who gives us a good example of how to honor Jesus. This is in the Gospel of John. We've been in Luke most of the time, but now we're in John today. And at the end of chapter 10, Jesus had said, I and the Father are one. And the Jewish leaders picked up stones to stone him. And of course, Jesus escaped that and ran away. Then Jesus finds out that Lazarus is sick. And he waits. He doesn't go immediately. And he discovers that Lazarus is dead. And once he's discovered he's dead, he goes to Lazarus' grave. Goes to see Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. When he's there, he begins to teach. And then he goes ahead and raises Lazarus from the dead. The culmination of the miracles, or the penultimate miracle in John's gospel. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And that draws all kinds of people to Jesus. And it gives people reason to believe in Jesus. And again, the religious leaders plot to kill Jesus. So they go into hiding. But now that the Passover is about to begin, he comes out of hiding and heads to Jerusalem. Actually, Bethany, just a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And they're hosting a meal for Jesus in his honor because of what he's done for their family. Mary and Martha and Lazarus host Jesus at this celebration, at this banquet. Listen to what happens. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. So Mary does this really extravagant and sort of etiquette-wise awkward thing. Jesus is being honored. The family, you know, Lazarus is hosting. Martha is serving, and it seems that Mary's part in honoring Jesus is to pour out this expensive, extremely expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. 300 denarii is about a year's wages for a common laborer. It's hard to translate that today, but remember, in the ancient world, everyone was poor. And so there wasn't as much money to go around, but it could have been something like $12,000 to $20,000. That might have been her dowry. That might have been her inheritance. I don't know. But it was probably the most valuable thing, possibly the only valuable thing she owned. And she pours it all out, apparently. And not only, I've seen this on video, different interpretations of it. Not real video, it wasn't videotaped. And it's in a bowl, it's poured in a bowl, and then it's covered, Jesus' feet are covered with it by her hands. And so it seems that all of it's poured out. It's not a few drops. You know, perfume goes a long way. Women often will, you know, do that kind of thing, and that's enough. But she pours it all out there. And the fragrance doesn't just smell good to Jesus. It fills the whole house. And when she was pouring it out, she was probably on her knees at his feet. And then she takes her covering off of her hair, exposing her hair. I'm told that only husbands are to see a woman's hair in Jewish tradition. So she is sort of doing this provocative act that's awkward, because this is something, I don't even know that a woman would do that with her husband, but certainly revealing her hair would have been something she would have only done in front of her husband. But then she takes that let down hair and begins to wipe his feet. Now, if I took off my feet, oh no, I'd be in trouble, I'd fall down. Sorry, some jokes are planned, others aren't. If I took off my shoes and my socks, and I asked you to do a foot washing, which sometimes we do in churches, you'd be okay with that because I had a shower. I'm wearing socks and shoes. But in the ancient world, now, they might have washed his feet. But you know how servants do with washing your feet that are dirty. They don't always do a good job. And he wasn't wearing socks, and he wasn't wearing shoes. He was wearing sandals, and he was walking on paths that animals and as well as people walked on. And to get down on your knees and undo your hair and to wipe those cleaned but dirty feet with your hair is an act of great humility. It is a way of humbling yourself before somebody. Awkward, yes, I think. But also deeply affectionate and loving and humbling. And Mary does this as a way to honor her Lord, to honor Jesus. in a similar way that Mary, Martha's serving and doing a wonderful meal was honoring the Lord. And Lazarus, who has the easy job of hosting the banquet. It's all there to honor Jesus. But Mary does it more extravagantly than anybody else. And not everybody's on this. Not everybody's on the same page with this. Judas speaks up and says, why wasn't this money, instead of being wasted, why wasn't this money perfume sold and the money given to the poor? And you got to admit, you think that too, don't you? You think, well, put a dab on there, but sell the rest. And I sort of feel that way. Wouldn't it be better to give it to the poor? And I struggle with that answer because I'm on Judas' side. And Judas wasn't really concerned about the poor. He was really wanting it to have more to take from, to get his slice of that pie. And it seems that Jesus says it is an appropriate gift. Jesus honors her. Now, we might feel uncomfortable with it, but Jesus isn't uncomfortable with it. And he honors her for what she has done. He says, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. Well, she can't keep it. She's poured it out. And the thing that I think that means is that when she finds out that in a week I'm going to be dead, she'll have this memory of honoring me, of preparing me for this death that I'm about to undergo and this burial that I'm about to undergo. Jesus honors her. Mary honors Jesus extravagantly. Extravagantly. And with great humility. In all likelihood, you know, some people might say she's drawing attention to herself, but not in a good light. She is humbling herself and honoring Jesus. And Jesus honors her. And I think what the reason John included, because he left out a bunch. He tells us at the end of the gospel, I could have written a lot more. But he included this because she was an example of how to honor Jesus extravagantly. John thinks it's important that we know that we are to honor Jesus extravagantly. How do we honor Jesus extravagantly? How do you do that extravagantly? I think you need to understand partly that this is a one-time act. This is not something Mary did every week. It is not something that we are to do every week. But it is something that she did, and she did it because it came from her heart. This was an action that revealed her heart. Her love for God is revealed in the action. And she shows that she honors Jesus extravagantly. How do we honor Jesus extravagantly? Well, part of the problem is he's not around. You know, this morning in prayer, I was sitting on the couch. And the couch, you can sit sort of back, sort of far. And so I lean back to pray, and I imagine that Jesus is in the chair across the way. And so I started talking to Jesus, and I realized I'm no longer talking to Jesus. I'm carrying on my own conversation. I've just invited him to come and sit at my prayer table, and I've gone on and ignored him. Well, that wasn't very honoring of me in that time of prayer. I drifted away from him. And that's because he wasn't there. If he'd been there, literally, I think the conversation would have continued. How do you honor Jesus when he's not here? When he's not literally among us? Well, I think there's several ways we can think about that. One is to look at what are themes in John's gospel that show Jesus cares about, that are important to Jesus. And one of the things Jesus says is, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is a way to honor Jesus. He also says, no greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. And then Jesus goes ahead and lays down his life. He sacrifices himself for others. And so that is clearly a theme in John's gospel, that we love others by sacrificing for others. Sacrifice, self-sacrifice, is a way to honor Jesus extravagantly. Jesus says, at the end there, he says, the poor you have always with you, but you do not always have me. And what he means by that is that while I'm here, it is appropriate to be extravagant for me. But when I'm gone, then of course you're to care for the poor, because that's what you're always supposed to do. I'm an exception to that, Jesus says. But when I'm gone, you continue what you're always supposed to do, care for the poor. And so another way to honor Jesus extravagantly is to care generously for the poor. I think you could also say Christ's body is the church. And when you give generously to the church, extravagantly to the church, you're honoring Jesus extravagantly. We think we have everything in place to start building dedicated youth space. It ought to happen any day now. And the only way that has come about, been put in place, is that some of you were extravagant in your care for our youth. And you said, I want to, in an extravagant way, give so that those youth will have a place to worship and grow in Christ. I think that's a way you can honor Jesus extravagantly. I want to take it from a different angle now and think about how you can think about honoring God extravagantly. And I want us to think about how we are extravagant with ourselves. What are you extravagant about? Where do you spend inordinately? What's a big deal to you? I know what ours is. It's vacations. We don't go to Panama City. Where is she? Yeah, there she is. We want to go where the kids will come. Because if we go to Panama City, they'll say, well, I'm not sure we'll be able to make it. And so we're bribing them to come and spend a week with us. And so we say we'll go to interesting places that they'll want to come to and hang out with us. That's one of our extravagances. Another place that all of us are extravagant is in our lifestyle. Do you own a car? That's an extravagance compared to much of the world. Do you have a house that's bigger than you need? Now, having a lot of stuff in your house doesn't qualify for need. Some of you have big houses and a lot of stuff in them, and that doesn't mean you needed it. But our lifestyle is extravagant. Comparing those extravagances in our own life, you know, I've told you one of my extravagances is sports. I can't ever remember if you're off the wagon or on the wagon, but I'm doing better with my sports addiction. I'm listening less and anxious less about. I don't even know whether the Braves won last night yet. And so I'm trying to let go of that. As we look at our extravagances, how does our relationship with God compare? You could be extravagant in your day, in your weekly tithe, or however you give. That can be an extravagance, but it seems like it's a big deal. It's something larger than that. That this extravagance that Mary shows. How can you honor Jesus in an extravagant way? And I don't mean to imply that this is all about money. I don't think it is. Although in our society, money is the way we measure most things. John is saying, and Jesus is affirming, honor Jesus extravagantly. Fuss over him. Make him a big deal in your life, in our lives. And you'll find that it's a good investment. You'll find that as you do that, we're still talking about Mary. She is still honored to this day. No gift to God, no honoring of God is ever wasted or lost. There is always a return on that. Honor Jesus extravagantly. Amen.